Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you for your presence, Lord. Just before Brian and Leah went, the week before they went away, we had an elders meeting, and one of the scriptures that was being highlighted to me at the time that we just briefly touched on in that meeting was the story in Luke where the men were out fishing. And they fished all night. And they caught nothing. Can you relate to that at all, Adrian? Yeah, at sometimes. You know, I'll come to that. So they were out all night fishing, and Jesus said to them at the end of that night as they were mending their nets, go and cast your nets on the other side of the boat, right? Go out and do it. You think about your own life for a minute. You do something, and you do it over and over and over again, and you don't see a result. Those guys knew how to fish. They knew the waters. They probably were generational fishermen, meaning their fathers were fishermen, their grandfathers were fishermen, right? You ever been fishing with somebody that knows how to fish? They know how to fish and they know where the fish are, right? So those guys were out there all night and they caught nothing. So when Jesus said to them, go back out and try again, you know, they argued a little bit, didn't they? You ever do that? You ever argue with God when he's directing you? I think, honestly, I think we can all say, yeah. The net result was, they had more fish than they could hold, and they had to call their buddies to come so that they could bring all the fish in. Why was that? I think we know. It's because Jesus spoke, they obeyed. There's a word for us, folks. I remember being in a prayer meeting here. We used to meet down in the room that gets many names, the multipurpose room, the youth room, the couch room, that room back there. And I really felt Holy Spirit say something to me, but I was in a prayer meeting. And I felt it again. I got up and I left the prayer meeting and I went directly over to somebody's house and knocked on their door, and that person was at their end. I could have said, well, no, I'm in a prayer meeting. I was doing a good thing. I was in a prayer meeting, right? Let's stop and listen to the voice of the Spirit and obey that. I can tell you other stories when I wished I'd listened and I hadn't, and there was a different result. Don't always get it right. Often get it wrong, actually. That's just a little tidbit. You have no rival. You have no equal. That really, really gets me excited when I sing that song in worship. I woke often this week and with these words on my heart. This song. Who wakes with a song? Yeah? What song do you wake with? Is it something that is sort of is it repetitive? Is it different? It's different. What song did you wake with this week? What song did you find yourself singing this week? Yeah, praise the name of Jesus. Yeah, yeah. Anybody else? The Lord's Prayer. Amen, amen, amen. Well, this is the one that I woke with this week often and found myself singing. And you can ask my wife, when I get a song in my head for the week, it's sort of the theme song for the week, right? Yeah. For 2 months, she says. As long as it's not, there's a song that never ends, right? This is the song that I woke with this week. And my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. It's kind of where I want to go this morning. So, turn to Ephesians 4. I'm going to read a couple of different portions of that this morning. This is the one that was highlighted to me. You know, I picked up the Bible this week, and I got to admit, in the busyness of life, I haven't been reading it quite as much as I like to. And I began to read in Ephesians, and I began to stir up, and I began to feel this thing in my heart, this overwhelming love for Jesus. This overwhelming love for the Word of God. And so as I read through it, I was actually looking for a portion of Scripture that came from that same meeting that the fisherman's story came from. And so it's in Ephesians 4, verses 15 and 16, and I'll read to you from the Amplified Bible. I have it on large print here, so I don't have to put my glasses on. But speaking the truth, verse 15, the Amplified Version, but speaking the truth in love, in all things, both our speech and our lives, expressing His truth, let us grow up in all things into Him, following His example, who is the head, Christ, verse 16. From Him, the whole body, the church, and all its various parts, joined and knitted firmly together by what every joint supplies. When each part is working properly, causes the body to grow and mature, building itself up in unselfish love. And the portion that was really highlighted to me is when each part is working properly, it causes the body to grow and mature. Healthy spiritual life in the lives of an individual is a great benefit to that individual. But I think it's a greater benefit to the body of Christ. Your spiritual health affects me. Just look around the room. This is a small portion of the body of Christ alive on the earth today. We meet here at Qualicum Beach Christian Fellowship Center. Your spiritual health affects every person in this room. Your spiritual health affects every member of the body of Christ in the earth today. I want you to do something. I want you to take a piece of paper. There's some pens here in case you don't have a pen. Hopefully you have a pen because there's not enough for everybody. Could you pass that out? I'm going to call upon some of you a little later to share something. I'm going to ask you to write down something on that piece of paper once it comes around. I want you to write down something that God revealed to you from his word. Something where you got maybe an aha moment. Something that he was speaking to you about in a dream. If you didn't have a dream, a thought or an impression that maybe you had from him. But I want you to do it sort of, don't go back any more than 3 weeks, okay? So something in the last few weeks that God was revealing to you, spoke to you, where a scripture stood off the page more than it has in the past. Maybe somebody had a word for you. I'm not looking for a testimony of you doing something, although it may have resulted in that. I'm looking for some revelation from God, some aha moment, okay? So if you could work on that, that would be good. Now I got to put my glasses on. I'm going to read from This is the Passion Translation. My wife loves it. It comes out in little booklets. It hasn't, I don't think they have the whole bunch of them together yet. It's time for me to look again. I want to read to you from the same portion of scripture that I read in the fourth chapter of Ephesians, verses 15 and 16. But instead, we will remain strong, always sincere. Let's make sure I'm in the right, always sincere in our love as we express the truth. All direction and ministries will flow from Christ and lead us deeper into him, the anointed head of his body, the church. For his body has been formed in his image and is closely joined together and constantly connected as one. And every member has been given divine gifts to contribute to the growth of all. And as these gifts are imparted and operating effectively through the whole body, we are built up and made perfect in love. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world. You know the rest of it. But it was because of love. It was because the love that God had for us that he sent Jesus Christ. But he didn't just stop there. He told us that we could partake in that great salvation, but that we could be his hands and his feet on this earth, that we could be his mouth. You know, as members of the body of Christ, some of us might be a big toe, and others might be a mouth, an eye. Who's ever injured their body? What's it been like? What was it like, Tammy, when your ankle was sore? How easy was it to walk that day? It was hard, right? You may see me. I don't have Tourette's, and I do have a nervous tic. However, this thumb right here, this is the one that I filleted in the table saw. That was a long time ago. But I constantly find myself doing this, right? I work it because it stimulates it. You know, it's painful, but I'm happy about that because I really believe that the nerves are regenerating in this thumb, that I'm going to have complete feeling in it I was working yesterday. For any of you that have been at my house, many improvements took place in preparation for the wedding, right? That was Mrs. Taylor right here, Dave and Beth, right? Our youngest, right? She's no longer Miss Walsh, she's Mrs. Taylor. That's hard for me to get my mind around. When your baby, Sarah, when your baby gets married, that seems like a long ways away, doesn't it? Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know, Lauren, I saw you with your baby. Andrew and Cindy, when your baby grandchild gets married, it seems like it's forever away. It's not going to be that long, right? Wow. Yeah. I get teary thinking about it. Yeah, I was building yesterday. That's right, thank you. You know, just another sort of bunny trail. I like bunny trails. 40 years ago this week, there was lots of preparation going on for another wedding. On the 30th of September, it's our 40th wedding anniversary. Yeah, yeah. You know, the Bible says, delight in the wife of your youth. Yeah, I love you. Yeah. Some other news on a little bit of a side note. The reason that I was working in the yard was to get the outhouse roof on. We had an outhouse by request of my wife. But we wanted it ready for the, because we had the wedding reception in our yard. We decided, well, we better get it ready for that, right? And it didn't have a roof on it. Well, on Thursday next week, I fly to Grand Prairie and go to Wembley, which is just a few minutes up the road. And on Friday morning, I get in a truck, and there's a caravan moving out of Wembley to Parksville, to Arrington. Carl and Chrissy and the two boys are coming, and they're landing in our front yard for a little bit. And I am very excited about that. Grandbabies here, right? Because they all live there, right? So we're hoping that that's the beginning of the migration home, right? Because he started it. Carl started the migration. So now that I've gone down the bunny trail, where am I going? I was building, right. So my thumb was acting up because I was building. And guess what? Why is it that when you have a sore or a weak member of your body, you manage to hit it? And as it pertains to the thumb, hit it with the hammer? So we're part of the body of Christ. We're individual members. Some of us are toes, and some of us are ankles and ligaments, and you get the picture, right? But we all have a plan. We all have a purpose in the body of Christ, every one of us. You know, very few people get to come and speak. And I got to tell you, oftentimes I don't like it, right? So now, how many people have written something down on that piece of paper that I gave them, right? Put your hands up. Don't be afraid. So you know what? I got to tell you, it's multi-purpose. You've begun to journal. Okay? Continue in that, because journaling is really good, right? It helps us to remember what God's doing. So of any of those that wrote something down, would you like to come and share it? I'm not going to put anybody on the spot. It has to be something that you wrote down. It has to be something that, you know, you felt God gave you an aha moment on, a revelation, that you heard in a dream, or, yeah, come on, Louise. Come on.
On the way to church, I prayed that the Lord would have a specific word for everyone that was here. And then you spoke this morning, here's a word for everyone. When Jesus speaks, obey him. And so you are hearing the voice of the Lord. Mm-hmm. This week on Sid Roth, I happened to pick up part of the program, and there was a man that had died. I'm not sure the whole story, but anyway, he went to heaven. And while he was there, he hadn't been a believer, but he did come to know the Lord. But at any rate, there was a book of life opened, and in the book, it was like a menu. There was nothing he had done for the Lord, and he was so determined. He was so ashamed. God, I want to live for you from now on. I don't want to just live for myself. But the thing that touched me the most was there was a room there, a nursing room for those babies that had been aborted, that in heaven that the Lord nurses them. And not just the aborted, but the those that have died before they were born. And I didn't think that moment, but that night when I was in prayer, the Lord showed me that I have a grandchild there. My husband just loved grandchildren, as we all do. And that my husband has that grandchild there. He's watching that child grow up. And that just blessed me. I just wept for the longest time. But I want to say about journaling that is the best thing. Every day we need to put down a daily word, because God speaks daily. We eat daily. We need the word daily. And if you write it down on a piece of paper, you'll remember it, and it will become a habit.
Bless you, Louise. Anybody else? Come on, Carol.
Praise God. Brian has been preaching to us about getting out of our comfort zones. And it just quickened so deep into my heart. And guess what I've been doing all summer? I am definitely out of my comfort zone. I've been babysitting dogs and babysitting 90-year-old ladies and dogs and chickens. And I'm still doing that, but it's a blessing. And I'm definitely out of my comfort zone, but if I hadn't listened to God, I've been pulling away all for a long time from things that have been happening at the church. And it's just, somebody said I'm filling a need. So I don't know. I think I'm going to get rid of my phone, though.
Revelation, or, yeah, come on, Bettina.
Yeah, same thing, you know, listening to Brian, getting out of our comfort zone. A couple years back, I was going through cancer treatments, and I thought, how in, you know, my weakness can I be doing this? You know, God, you put me on the sidelines. I'm not good for anything. And then this verse kept coming to me. God is immeasurably able to do more than we could ask or imagine by the power that is at work within us. And so I kept getting this, you know, sense that, you know, it is not by anything I can do. It's God's power. And I recall I was down in Victoria, and I was getting a checkup, and we were hoping that the cancer was in remission and so on, and we were it was good news. But I was still dealing with all the effects of radiation and chemo. So we were at the hotel and getting ready to leave, and it was taking me a long time to get ready. I just felt like delay. So anyway, so we finally get to the reception to check out, and I hear this woman, she's in a wheelchair, and she's just checking in at the reception desk, and I overheard the words that she was going for radiation. And there was something in her voice, and I felt this real, you know, push, be bold. And so I went up to her, And I said to her, I just finished radiation not too long ago. You're going to be okay. And this woman said, I really needed to hear that, you know. And so I said, Can I pray for you? Which is really stepping out of my comfort zone. Middle of a hotel lobby, you know. I'm praying with this woman. And I prayed for her. And she said, you have just blessed me. She says, I have a brain tumor and I'm going to get radiation for it. But just, you know, moments before, I prayed to God that he would send someone to reassure me that I was going to be okay. Yeah. And now yeah. I know I will be.
Yeah. That's awesome. That's right. Yeah. Come on, Carla.
Sorry, I'm really sorry. Working out too much. It's these people's faults. Anyway, they know who they are. I've been going through some stuff returning to work after a beautiful summer. And it's kind of things of I've allowed to steal my joy out of my life. And Angela Parks was telling me to listen to podcasts from Bethel, so I was like, oh, okay, before work. So Bill Johnson was speaking on joy, and it really spoke to me. God, the Holy Spirit just kind of came over me and was speaking to me about I think it was in Nehemiah or somewhere. I don't remember the story at all. I was trying to recall it, but I can't remember, but it spoke to me because the people, whatever they were experiencing, they found joy in it anyway, and they just continued on finding joy in their circumstances. And it's been a challenge for me this last couple weeks to find that joy, but how it's extremely important, I realized, especially over the last few days. So I don't want to cry, but anyway, joyful crying.
Yeah. Why don't you pray for us?
Of course, because I'm crying, you want me to pray.
Exactly.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for being here with us today. And Lord, everybody has circumstances in our lives, Lord, like that are hard. Whether it be relational or whatever it is, Lord. And I know you're there with us, but Lord, I just pray that you help us find your joy.
Amen.
Through those circumstances.
Amen. Thank you, Lord,
that you just pour your joy over our lives, that we would be walking in your joy, that people would want what we have, Lord.
Amen.
That we'd be examples, and we would be walking examples of your joy, Lord God. And I just pray for an increase over this congregation of joy in Jesus' name. Lord, I just ask that you just pour it over every
Amen.
Single person here.
Amen.
Lord, I love everybody here, and you love everybody here. And Lord, I just pray that when we leave here today, we have a joy in our step.
Amen.
In all of our circumstances. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Carla. Thank you, Carla. There's no rival. Yeah. He has no rival. He has no equal. The name of Jesus.
Okay. We were talking about whether or not I'd read this a little bit, but it seems to fit with what Carla said, so I'd like to. It's a declaration out of Psalm 128, or a decree. My life is a journey, and I love the adventure. I make my way through each day following his lead. I reap joy in every moment because I smile at every task. I cannot stop laughing, and my days are filled with great friends because I avoid gossip and unkindness and don't cause others anxiety. If there's anger, I calm it. If there's sadness, I ease it with joy. And it goes on talking about how our family is a great source of our joy. But, you know, just having that heart that's open to joy, because righteousness, peace, and joy are heaven's atmosphere. And we just always pray, your kingdom come, right?
Yeah, amen.
So live in that place, and then you'll be living in a place of rest.
Right. Yeah, right. Come on, Richard.
I needed a word, or all of us did, going to the street church in Port Alberni, and we're thinking of quitting in the summer, because so few people came, and Mary's feet were black and tired, and Narvin sold his toolbox to pay for the food, and we were discouraged. And we went to the meeting, and in come two drunks, and they were shirtless and tattooed right to their waist, and they were talking really loud while June was sharing on the baptism. We were going to baptize people in Sprout Lake the next Thursday, 2 days later, and we did. But what happened is June stopped and said, "Would you like to prophesy?" And I said, "Everybody pray." And one of the drunks came up forward, and he said, "You're thinking of shutting this down, but don't do it, because this town needs Jesus, and I do too. And you think there no people will come, it'll be so full that you won't even be able to seat them all." And, you know, a donkey prophesied. And they just came like the bar, just talking to each other. So what happened the next week, there was 100 people there in a room that only seats 50. And last week there was 85. And it was just wonderful to hear from the Lord, to hear the answer. And seek and save those that are lost. Don't give up. Part of your message. Yeah. Anyway, it's happening. Thank God.
Amen. 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 Thank you, Jesus. So some of us are big toes, and some of us are earlobes, right? Chins and noses, and, you know, Christ is the head, right? Christ is the head. I want to read to you from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12. "For as the body is one, has many members, but all the members of that body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, or whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink in one Spirit, into one Spirit. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many." And then it goes on to say, you know, if the foot say, and if the eye, and all of that. But verse 18 says, "But now God has set the members, each one of them." Can you say that with me? God has set the members, each one of them. If he's called you to be a big toe, you're a big toe. Doesn't mean you're going to remain a big toe, right? If he calls you to be a hand or a finger. "But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body, just as he pleased." I want to tell you, folks, I said it last week, you guys are awesome. You guys are awesome. You guys are incredible. Some of the things that you face would cause people to crumble. You guys are awesome, but not because it's you, it's because of Christ in you, right? Let the weak say, "I am strong." Let the poor say, "I am rich." Because of the Spirit, folks. Because of the Spirit. One last scripture, and I'll close. Second Corinthians 3:18. "But we all, with unveiled faces, beholding in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord." Would you stand with me? Where the Spirit of the Lord, there is liberty, right? Yeah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Lord, thank you that you've called us into your kingdom, into your body. Thank you that you've set us in places that pleases you. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you for those that pray, for those that go, for those that toil, and not in the bad sense of toiling, but those that put their hands to things, for those that are the encouragers, for those that come along with a word of correction, with a word of direction. Thank you that you've placed each one of us in your body, Lord. And Father, as we go this week, as we heard the different ones, speak to us. Cause us to be your people, that your name would be glorified on the earth. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
I shared this one too. So, 3 weeks ago, Brian said, "You're a psalmist." Okay. Said, "We're psalmists." And I've been marinating on that one for 3 weeks. And then if people know me, it's like I look at creation. It's just what it is. And I was brought back to old Brian Dirksen song. "I felt the wind blow, whispering your name. I've seen your tears fall when I watch the rain. How could I say there is no God when all around me creation calls? A singing bird, a mighty tree, the vast expanse of an open sea." And I was challenged a little bit, as funny as that was, Jason Gertzen mentioned last week, he's like, "I'm a baseball guy." He goes, "You used to be able to debate things and argue them for hours or days or weeks." He says, "What do we do now? Google it. There's the answer to your thing." Getting there in a second, except it went off, so just 1 second. In Jeremiah 33, Jeremiah was still confined in the courtyard of the guard. The word of the Lord came to him a second time. This is what the Lord said. He said, "He who made the earth, tell the Lord, this is his name," and I'm getting there in a second. So part of this was, I was just thinking over the last 3 weeks, is like, there's just chaos going on in the world. There's hurricanes, there's earthquakes. There's a lot of stuff going on. And it was like, and this just brought me back. And it's like, God's greater than all that. God spoke the word, and he spoke the earth into being. So let's not fret over the calamities we see around here. So above that, the Google it, remember? And in Jeremiah, "Call to me, and I will answer you, and I will tell you great and unsearchable things that you do not know." So where do we go to? I'll Google it. I will Google it. Guess what? God's got more answers. Answers that go beyond Google. There's a thing that came up this week. It was an old thing to, you go, "Surrey, hey, Surrey, where do I hide dead body?" And they used to give you some little tripe thing as to what some little crazy thing was. And the thing came up this week, it's like on page 2 of Google. You know, it was like, because nobody looks on page 2 of a Google search. You know, I want whatever's on page 1, that's it. There's the answer kind of thing. Well, that's what God's saying. I've got more. You want to go past page whatever, 1,000 on a Google search? I got more answers than that. So know that God has more. We have a ministry team for here, so you want to hear more about what God has to say?